With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Tusla was before the Oireachtas Children's Committee earlier today as issues facing the system were highlighted, challenged and addressed. To chat about what was discussed, I'm now joined by its Chief Executive, Kate Duggan. You're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder, Kate. You did address that committee today and you acknowledged the public concern after several tragic incidents involving children who were known to Tusla, but you specifically apologised for the wording of a statement which was issued after the alleged sexual assault of a 10-year-old girl who was known to Tusla. Why did you decide to do that?
Thanks, Ciarán. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you this evening. I think it was very important. One of the deputies at the committee did raise with me concern about the language that was used in the public statement that was issued by Tusla, and I suppose spoke to the impact that that language could have had, particularly perhaps on other victims of abuse or victims of assault. And I absolutely accepted that that public media statement, and while there was no intent like that around it, may have had a negative impact on individuals or on people. And so I thought it was very important that I did apologise for any negative impact that would have had.
And was it specifically about the use of the word absconded when describing the incident around what happened to this child?
Yeah, no, I think what the deputy was referring to was a reference to the use of this young person having some challenging behaviour. And I think it's very important to state, and you know, not even particular to this case, that we are, as an agency, engaging with a lot of young people, particularly young people 16 to 18 years of age, first of all, where, you know, we have significant concerns in relation to the complex behaviours that they have. And those behaviours are absolutely due to the level of trauma they've experienced, the level of abuse that they've experienced, the level of neglect that they have experienced, and often for many of them where they didn't perhaps get access to early intervention, earlier therapeutic supports. And as a consequence of that, for our staff and for some of our staff looking after some of these young people, that they're our impacts on staff in terms of levels of violence, harassment, aggression. We spoke this week also and today in the committee that at the moment we are facing a situation where our staff right across our services are involved in about 51 instances of violent harassment and aggression on a weekly basis. And so that does make it very difficult for our staff in working with these young people. And also very important that in working with these young people, that we are advocating for them to get access to services they may need. As I said, whether that is therapeutic services, whether that's addiction services, or whether that's psychological services.
Okay, and, so and I want to come back, to I think, that to that issue today. Of violence towards staff in a moment. But there has been several high-profile cases, including the deaths of children in care, the disappearance of others, that have raised really serious concerns. I know you can't discuss specifics because many of those are now the subject of Garda investigations and are before the courts. But what systemic vulnerabilities within Tusla do you think that is those cases are exposing?
I think it is very important, as we say, that there has been four, you know, significant cases that really concern all of us. They concern me as the CEO, the board of the agency. And I do want to reassure people that when there is any significant incident that relates to a child known to us or a child in our care, there's an immediate review of that case done. Any learning or recommendations taken from that are implemented. And obviously we share that within the National Review Panel. I know there is a perception when we talk about children and young people missing missing from care. I think it's very important to understand in a regulated service, and again, maybe for your listeners, to understand all of our child protection and welfare services in community and in residential are regulated and inspected. And obviously HICWA is our primary regulator. And as part of the work that we have to do with children and young people, where a child, you know, leaves their unit, these are children that they're living in a home like the rest of us. When they leave their home to go on excursions, to go on activities, to go and meet friends like any normal young person would do, if they don't return at a time that is their curfew, or if they leave that unit without letting us know, we have to, as part of that absence management plan, as part of our duty to safeguard and look after them, we have to report them as missing, so that we can then report to Gardaí Síochána to identify a concern and identify the need for them to be supported to return. But if I give an example on a particular day, for example, there may be three young people across the country who are reported as missing. One or two of those may be in contact with their staff and say, look, I'm not telling you where I am, but I'm going to be home in an hour or 2 hours. But there is a group of separated children seeking international protection, and that would be young people, largely 17 to 18, who may have informed us of their intent to leave the country and travel to another state, who may have informed us that it was never their intent to come to this country, who again, unless they confirm to us where they have gone to or where they have travelled to, we do report them as missing, because we do want to make sure that Gardaí Síochána continue with their endeavours to seek to locate them. And obviously, when it comes to separated young people or unaccompanied minors, we have to be cognizant of any potential risk of trafficking or exploitation.
But I suppose the high profile cases, Kate, that other people have been talking about, that were brought up today by TDs, that have been covered extensively in the media, that's not about children who go missing for a short period of time and are hopefully brought back into Tusla's care. Mm-hmm. Again, I can't talk about specific cases, but I think people are aware of what we're talking about. Do they not point to more serious vulnerabilities in Tusla?
I think it's important to wait for the National Review Panel review. And the National Review Panel, when they look at the engagement of young people where there has been a serious incident and a very serious incident, when we talk about these cases, because when we talk about four cases, you know, they're not all the same cases. There's not the same issues or challenges surrounding those cases. But they also look across the wider state's engagement with those young people. So those young people kind of had engagement with Tusla, engagement with educational services, engagement with health services. And I think the one message for me, and I can certainly talk to some of the challenges we're facing within the agency that we're seeking to address and are addressing, but the really important, I think, lesson that is coming from, you know, two of those cases in particular that happened during COVID-19 is around that wider society, you know, responsibility to safeguard children. We absolutely have responsibilities and statutory responsibilities as an agency, but also looking to remind people who are in schools, who are in after-school clubs, who are in community clubs, who are in communities right across this country, that if they have any concern about the welfare of a child, if they have any concern about the fact that they haven't seen a child for a particular period, that they would reach out and they would make that known to us.
Yeah, I'm just conscious listening to you there, Kate, that you're talking about sort of the wider societal response to these children. But it is Tusla that is the agency that is now being funded to a tune of $1.336 billion that has actually as its duties to provide care for these children. Mm-hmm. And again, to go back to the vulnerabilities that these four very high profile cases are surely exposing about Tusla and its ability to do its job.
I think, Kira, again, it's also making sure that we put things in context. If we look, you know, in 2024, we received over 96,600 referrals. Already this year, we've received 78,500, just over 78,500 referrals, which is 11% increase on last year. And it's very important to say that we then have about 5,000, almost 5,900 children in the care of the state. 87 or 88% of those young people are in foster care today. they are thriving in foster care families right across the country. When we look at the latest CSO figures in relation to the fact that 9 out of 10 of those children are in education, when we look to the fact that now, in terms of children, you know, leaving care, that we see that, you know, 7 out of 8 of those children, or 3 in 4 of those children leaving care, are in education and training. There are very positive outcomes for the majority of children who are in the care or working with TUSLA.
Yeah, but there's devastating outcomes for others. And I'm just wondering, you're talking about the level of referrals being up to 105,000, a 550% increase in the number of unaccompanied minors. I can hear that there's greater demand and pressure being put on the service. Would money, more money, solve the problems that TUSLA is facing?
No, I think we've been very honest about the very significant challenges we face really across three factors. The first is the workforce supply. We know in Ireland today that there's almost 100% employment across the market. For us particularly, it's around the recruitment of social workers and social care workers, particularly at the front line. And if we take up until 2023, in this country, there were only 220 social work graduates approximately graduating every year, where there was a need for almost 800 a year when you look across the wider public sector and private sector. So a real game changer for us has been the work that we've done with the support of the minister, with the support of the department, to launch in 2024 the first apprenticeship scheme for social workers. Because in that situation, it actually isn't or wasn't money that was the challenge. It was actually the supply of the number of social workers graduating from third level institutions.
Okay, so when will the agency, I suppose, get to the point where it is meeting the level of need?
What we're seeing at the moment in terms of the apprenticeship scheme taking effect, we would estimate that it's going to be 2 to 3 years before we have the full resource available to us, based on the demand that is there. But also, Ciara, it's very important to stress that we're not waiting for that to happen. We're about to launch on the 1st of January 2026 an absolutely significant transformational programme within TUSLA, where we are, you know, redesigning and realigning all of our geographical structures and geographical boundaries. What does that mean for children and families? That means that for the first time from next year, children and families right across Ireland will have equal access to services. We're looking at widening our workforce, so the employment of multidisciplinary teams. We know today that when we look at the young people, there's about, you know, if I'm being really honest, there's about 150 young people today that we are very concerned about. And they are children who have more complex behaviours, such as those that are, you know, maybe involved in drugs. They're involved in, you know, at risk of sex or of criminal exploitation. They are young people that are involved in criminal activity. And so when we look to those children and those young people, we recognise the need that other skilled workers can be brought in to work with those young people.
And so you also need the support of other agencies and other state agencies.
I was about to say, it's around that access to therapeutic supports, it's the access to addiction facilities, it's the action to mental health services and mental health teams. And for us as a corporate parent, you know, our role is around advocating for those children and young people to get access to those services provided by other agencies. We spend about 8 million euros a year at the moment purchasing, you know, private therapeutic supports for children in our care who desperately need them. And so it's around that interagency working. We're absolutely welcoming the review of the Child Care Act that's putting, you know, the statutory responsibility and the duty for other agencies to cooperate.
All right.
So it is around workforce, it is around interagency working, and it also is around trying to find more foster carers. We're becoming increasingly concerned about a number of young children under 12 years of age that we are challenged to find foster care placements for. And, you know, again, I'm going to use this opportunity that if there's anybody who is listening to your show today who thinks they may be interested in providing a foster home, particularly to young children, children of 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years, where they would have the opportunity to absolutely transform the lives of those children and young people.
Can I just ask you about the residential settings? You spoke about 51 incidents this week alone of violence and harassment towards staff. There was a figure of 2,300 this year. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like it's particularly safe for the workers in these residential settings, and it certainly doesn't sound like it's safe for the children in these settings.
And I think there are two, as you say, very specific issues that we are facing. We certainly have seen a decrease in the level of violence and harassment and aggression within our residential services, and particularly within our special care services. But we are, if we think of just maybe in the last, you know, week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I don't want to talk about specific incidents, but we have had, you know, where members of public have hurled, you know, pieces of debris and bicycles through windows. We have had incidents where staff members have been kicked. We have incidents where staff members have had bones broken. And that is as a result of particularly an older cohort of young people who are dysregulated, who are struggling within the care system. And our obligation is to absolutely protect our staff and ensure that they have a safe place to work. And in some instances, we've had to employ close protective personnel in order to safeguard and protect our staff under the duty to them. But more importantly, it's how we look at those children and young people, and particularly young people, as I said, over 16 to 18, who have more complex needs, who need a wider, you know, interagency approach in order to help them to regulate and to help them to engage in the services that they need to support
them. Do you accept that the public has lost confidence in Tuzla and the judiciary? One judge last week saying he was incandescent with rage that Tuzla could not prefer special care beds to a child under 16, a child under 13 who are at risk of death. He said Tuzla had a strategy of running down the clock when it was faced with legal proceedings. Mm-hmm. Do you accept the public and the judiciary have lost faith in your organisation?
I think that the challenge for us is that absolutely, and I think it is really important to say this, because there could be people tonight who are in the care of Tuzla, who are in the care of state, who are doing really well and who are thriving and who don't want to be stigmatised by some of the stories that obviously are coming out through the media and in reporting. And we have a piece of work to do that we have to try and get some of those positive and good news stories out there so that we can build that trust and confidence back.
Okay, but we have to address, Kate, surely the other stories that can have such tragic outcomes.
Of course, and we absolutely recognise we have been open and honest in the challenges that we're facing. I spoke to you there now. This, you know, I would describe perhaps 100 or 150 young people that we are struggling to care for in a registered placement, you know, within a particular week, where when we look at the special care matter in terms of children's entitlement or young person's entitlement to a special care bed where there is a special care order, we have spent, you know, almost €500,000 this year on initiatives around trying to recruit staff, trying to bring in staff from overseas, and we have been unable to recruit the sufficient numbers of staff that we need to be able to open more special care beds. And I think what we're trying to demonstrate to the judiciary is just the actions that we are taking, but where despite those efforts around apprenticeships, overseas campaigns, you know, recruitment initiatives, the implementation of a new grade of special care worker within special care that we got support from the minister on, we've been unable to recruit an adequate number of staff to open those beds.
Okay, Kate Duggan, CEO of Tuzla, thank you for taking the time to speak to us here on The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.